pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show. FM Talk 106.5, hour number two underway. We do appreciate you listening on this Thursday morning. 251-343-0106. If you would like to weigh in on anything we are discussing this morning, coming up in about a half hour from now from Alabama Appleseed. First time on this program, Carl Crowder will join us on something we agree on. Just the terrible state of Alabama's prison system and how it just seems inexcusable at this point, a good number of years into it, that it persists and it continues the way it does. We'll talk about that. We won't agree on the solutions, but I think we will agree that what is the status quo is unacceptable and how we got here is completely unacceptable. Also on the program, the 11 o'clock hour, running for United States Senate here in Alabama, Congressman Mo Brooks, that's in the 1130 block, so please stay tuned for that. Joining us now, however, we've been talking about this issue a lot lately. I just think this is the year for so-called constitutional carry, permitless carry. It's going to get a really good shot in the legislature, even though it's the fourth year of a quadrennium. But coming on to talk to us a little bit about it from the National Rifle Association, Art Tom on the line. Art, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, sir. I'm doing well.
Yeah, well, we saw the other day what Florida had signed their permitless carry bill into law that it seems to be a trend in a lot of red states. Ideologically, I guess it falls under that more of a conservative type of view of the Second Amendment. But Alabama seem behind on this trend.
Absolutely. Alabama is terribly behind. You know, we've been dealing with this in Alabama now for 4 years, almost 5 years. And, you know, we did the task force for 21st century gun laws several years ago. Out of those meetings came, Representative Robertson and, his bill that was passed into law last year, you know, and it was a that addressed the valid concerns or what Alabama legislature thought were the valid concerns of law enforcement and law enforcement safety and the old argument of taking a tool out of their toolbox. And I'll tell you, you know, you had mentioned it, inexcusable and unacceptable. And frankly, you know, I listened to your show yesterday. I listened to your show the day before when you had Pronsi on and yesterday when you had the sheriff on. And what's inexcusable and unacceptable is frankly the lies that Sheriff Cochran was spewing on your show yesterday. It amazes me, and that anybody that listens to the sheriff and then goes to his own Facebook page, you know, he was spouting off stuff like 88%. That's an old, tired number that Bloomberg funded, Biden backed, anti-gun, every town for gun safety puts out. They said 88% of people. They said it in West Virginia when we passed it. They said it in Kentucky. They keep using this 88% of people want more gun control. One, if you go to the Teen Sheriff Facebook page, that dispels any opportunity for that right there. The 88% is actually on our side. And then, you know, if you want to really look at it, man, Jeff, you know yourself. You're in politics. You're in the media. We couldn't get 88% of people to walk outside and agree that the sky is blue.
Let me ask you this, though. A lot of the times, whenever this topic's brought up, the response from our listeners as well, the real motivation here is the financial incentive of the pistol permit. That is reason to why the sheriff's associations or the Sheriff's Association and sheriffs around the state are so wedded to this concept of the status quo. If you took away the incentive and you still had the permit, and you could never get them to really nail down on that, but, I mean, is there any – what would be an appropriate middle ground to where a lot of you guys would say, well, the Second Amendment, you're not inhibiting my ability to exercise my Second Amendment rights?
Yeah, see, and, you know, that's a – I can appreciate that question. You know, we've been asked that. the problem is, Jeff, we've been asked that question over and over again, just in Alabama alone, and there is no negotiation. Last year wasn't a negotiation. That enabled us to get to where we are today, you know, as far as passing constitutional carry. That's why we have so many legislators on board. And frankly, one of the other reasons that we have so many legislators on board is the Sheriff's Association, and several sheriffs across the state have been lying, continuously lying to the legislators. They told them last year, or they told them 2 years ago, rather, when they were passing the lifetime permit bill, or attempting to start with, and developing this database of prohibited persons, that they had one ready to go. They were 3 weeks out. We didn't need the bill because they had their own. And you know, the bill stalled, come back last year to bring it back up, and it was set for passage. And they said, we don't need this. We're about 3 weeks out. It's like, well, a year ago, you were 3 weeks out. What happened? Why haven't you instituted this program and this permit system in place that you had 3 weeks ago? They're lying. They're kicking the can down the road, or trying to. And frankly, besides money, and it's in the state of Alabama, is like I've not seen in any other state I've lobbied, and I've lobbied several, is the true boss hog mentality of, we control this state. You know, they've come into the legislature and told legislators and they told leadership, you know, if not by direct words, by certainly direct action, you don't make the decisions for this state. The sheriffs make the decisions for the state. And if you buck us, we will fire you. We will terminate you from your position and the ability to be able to feed your family, because politically we don't agree with you. And if anybody on your show thinks that that's right, then, you know, we got a whole set of new problems.
Well, I mean, it's just, I guess in these counties, the political culture is what it is. Sheriff tends to be a very popular political figure, very powerful political figure. And, you know, finding a way around that, it's just always been that way, particularly here in Mobile County. But Mobile's not alone. That's why it's so important to have those guys on your side in a lot of cases, and it puts a chilling effect through the legislature on constitutional carry.
I understand, and you know, the thing is that as Alabama has seen, as these legislators have more and more, have increasingly seen, not only does Alabama, you know, the country has wanted this, the country has continued to pass it. It's a very popular issue, as you said, in conservative states. Those that appreciate their constitutional rights and their constitutional rights given under the Second Amendment. And, you know, the sheriffs just do not want to let up that control. And they come in with very bad data and saying, you know, the stuff like he was yesterday about, you know, the Wild West and increased crime and increased officer safety issues. And, you know, if you look at the FBI, I sent you a document last night, and if you look at that document, the data that I give is direct from the FBI.
Right.
They have access to all this data. It's direct from the FBI, and the FBI's crime data statistics prove, it absolutely proves that crime does not increase. In fact, it decreases. You know, in West Virginia, where I live, 5 years after constitutional carry was passed, crime has decreased. You know, in near every state, crime has decreased, or at least it's remained the same. Now, I'm not saying that that was because of constitutional carry, but constitutional carry certainly didn't have a negative effect on it. You know, the sheriff yesterday saying, we're going to take you to task. Well, they can take them to task, because if you look in every state that has passed this, that is a conservative state,
right,
it's been a great vote. The Republicans have either went to a supermajority, or they've at least increased seats. Again, I'm not saying that it was due to permitless carry, but it certainly didn't hurt.
Joined by Art Tom of the NRA here on the program. Let me ask you this question: that the courts don't necessarily think that a permit requirement is unconstitutional, right? But I guess in the spirit of that, they leave that up to the states. Is this just a matter of interpretation, or what is the right viewpoint on that?
Yeah, you know, I mean, the thing is whenever it comes down to it, you know, the Supreme Court, whenever they did rule, and, you know, we believe that they're getting ready to rule in our favor in the New York case. That's an NRA-backed case that we think is going to change a lot of things in America and a lot of the states that are very anti-gun. But, you know, when it comes to constitutional carry, as you said, you know, in the permitting process, they are leaving it up to the states. And again, with, you know, some caveats, which we believe are going to change here in the come June or so. But when it comes to constitutional carry, that's true. But, and again, state after state is showing the importance of this. The people want it. The people of Alabama have wanted it for a long time. You know, we've been educating the citizens, and, you know, the sheriff can say that, you know, that when he talks to people that they say that they don't want it. But again, go to his Facebook page. You'll see that's just not true.
Yeah, well, certainly anecdotally they don't. And I assume I've seen the polling on this independent of either side, and it seems to be kind of overwhelming favor with the public. I get the arguments for and against, but it just feels like to me this is a fourth year of a quadrennium in the Alabama legislature. We typically don't have a lot of action on big things, but this, I guess, based on who's co-sponsoring this legislation, it looks like it's going to be very difficult to stop.
And you know, and the thing is that, and I don't disagree with you, and we are absolutely pleased with the members of leadership and the amount, the magnitude of co-sponsors that we've had for this legislation. And I agree with you. I think that this is has very, very good chances of passing the legislature this year. It's passed out of the Senate three times already. You know, the House has been where it's stuck. And as you've seen from some of the co-sponsors in the House this year, as you've said, it appears that those sticking points have been cleared up, and we've been able to help educate those legislators to make sure that they understand that, again, crime's not going to go up, permits are not going to go down. You know, the sheriffs, I understand they're concerned about their money.
Right.
If they were to just take a step back and say, let's look at this without, you know, going crazy and just wanting control, they would see states have, the permits have increased, you know, Arizona three times over. You know, I mean, it's just look at the facts. Don't go to you know, the anti-gun lobbies made up stuff. Go straight to the facts. I challenge everybody to do that. And I have, you know, documents and straight numbers to show that, you know, the permits will continue to rise. Crime will continue to drop. This isn't, you know, the Wild West, as they say. It's not going to have a negative impact on the state of Alabama as these sheriffs that want control want to say. And, you know, one of the things that people need to think about when they think about, hey, I'm getting this data from my Sheriff Cochran, is that the Sheriff's Association was very annoyed with me when we brought in last year the fact that 17 counties, he talks about all these people that he denied, that 17 counties in the state of Alabama, the sheriffs were handing out permits to their buddies and you know, instances of that sort, to the point that the ATF rescinded the mixed bypass exemption of the concealed carry permits in the state of Alabama. You know, previous to that, you were able to walk into a gun store, hand them your permit, and they had the ability to, instead of calling in the NICS, they could take your data from from your permit. They know you've had a background check within the last 5 years that meets the ATF requirements, and you could walk off with your lawfully purchased firearm. No longer can you do that.
All right, real quick,
the sheriff's fault.
We're running short on time here, but let me ask you this question. When I talk to the sheriff, when I talk to other guys on the other side of this issue, they will tell me that the branding of constitutional carry is just some kind of clever thing you guys come up with as a way to further your organization, that it is not truly constitutional carry. I just out of curiosity, just get your response to that, and then we got to wrap it up.
Sure. I don't get paid any more or any less if if we pass constitutional carry. You know, the thing is that the they want to use these terms against the NRA, and here's the fact. The facts are that me and every one of my colleagues that work for the state, local, or the federal, trying to educate citizens, educate the legislators, we have one goal in mind, and that is to protect and enhance the rights of the citizens and the members that we represent. That's it, period.
All right, Tom, we appreciate you coming on, and we'll talk again soon.
Yes, sir. Always great to be on. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
All right, guys, we got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5.